Lime, duh. Yeah. Oh, la, 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 la. Yeah, let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa. 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 Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Your next stop, the Jabrones.
I'm your host, the host who hit the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling.
I should have known better, dude.
a.k.a. the modern day, Donnie Capri, from the time I went to Italy.
Nice ribbon right there.
Not gonna wait for
Radio,
nothing.
You're supposed to wait a few.
Got
minutes.
A blender, yeah.
Hey.
AKA the
modern
day goof and spoof,
huh?
Raja, yeah.
No more, Mr. Nice Jew.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba gabba wee,
gabba gabba yeah, wee, gabba gabba
gabba gabba,
gabba gabba wee, gabba 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 gabba.
This girl, she's my
Dashing
and Dale.
Not a perfect person.
She's fine.
I send it you to deletion.
What up, Jabroni? I do it like the nanny.
Yeah.
I sound like
Fran
broken
Drescher.
Fran Drescher. What up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Hey, before we get into it.
Woo, whoa, what flavor?
Lime, duh, little Lime the Crow. You never hurt, no, boy. Yeah, coming at you. 103.5, you're listening on the Georgia Highway. Don't hit a possum because AJ Styles back in town, baby, baby. He doesn't want none. Alright, that's the best one. That is always the best one. Hey, sexy boy, coming at you, baby. Take your shirt off. Make your key.
Yeah,
it's
keep
the
that one short.
One.
Yeah.
You just gotta be like, oh yeah. I don't like fried rice. I like it white.
Make your key.
That. Yeah. You want one?
Yeah.
The same one?
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, massive multi-car pilot with a 405. Make
your key.
Many dead. Hey, everybody, we're here to my front in studio. Let's introduce him. The nasty one. He's a nasty, nasty boy. Nasty Newman.
Welcome to How About It City, bitch.
Yeah, and in studio, the first lady.
Wow,
that catchphrase is catching on.
It's hot like fire.
And unfortunately, always in studio, the Canadian dream / my Canadian nightmare, Anosh McAdam.
Hello, Daniel.
Yes, hello. Anyway, hey, for anyone who's listening to this podcast a bunch, remember, you can support the show. The best way, the only way to support the show besides just listening is patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. No, we really do this all ourselves. If you like everything we're doing, not just the stuff you hear here, the Cal 40 experience, everything takes resources and we need your support. Please, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Go support. And hey, we're not asking for handouts. We got tons of bonus episodes right now there. We have a movie dissection episode for Jamal. The Next Level.
Yeah.
We have a whole archive on there from last year. Two years of archives. It just go on there. But new, coming out this Monday, is our movie dissection of a movie with a professional wrestler, isn't it? Ooh, wow. Ooh, hold on. Okay.
Whew. Reset.
Yeah, hold on. Let me reset.
Fashion.
Okay. our movie dissection with a movie with a professional wrestler in it, Marine 4, Target
moving
launch.
Target.
Moving target.
Target launch is good too.
Oh, I thought you said moving much.
Yeah.
Moving much.
Marine 4, moving much?
Starring Mike the Miz Mizanin. As returning as Jake Carter.
Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, you can listen to that. That'll be coming out Monday. We're gonna talk about that. Guys, I have so much to say about it. I can't even control myself, but we're going to do that on the main episode. Okay, and, well, also, you can cash in on the show, right? You get your opinion here. You leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. 530-2429. Blow my mind. Leave us a voicemail. You could get it played on the show.
Maybe.
On this day.
1 minute or less, folks.
Ooh.
You think you know me.
anyway, let's get into it. And by the way, just to give a little teaser here. I've got a huge guest booked. I won't announce who it is, but I have a huge guest. I have a huge guest booked for next week on the podcast. So you better tune in next week. Awesome. Okay. So look, before we get into Raw, SmackDown, all the goings on in wrestling right now, because it's hot, it's spicy. And before we ring that bell, I got to address the Comedians of Wrestling heavyweight title situation. Mm-hmm. So as everyone knows, current champion Ify Nwadwe has been MIA for quite some time.
Yeah,
it's well covered on here, and so he I went out trying to find him. I said on here I'm gonna keep hunting him, beating him down, forcing him to give me a title shot. That was his tactics, and I was gonna I'm gonna give him a little slice of his own cake, if you will. Right?
Right.
A slice of pie.
A piece of pie. Of keto cake.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, a little slice of keto cake.
Of avocado substitute cake.
I bashed him with this keto protein powder.
Yeah. The things are dense.
The thing was heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a brand new one. It was sealed. Bashed him on his head. The guy went down. People didn't know that in that attack, how that thing was like a brick.
Yeah.
Look. He still hasn't been responsive. He says he's going to retaliate. No retaliation. As people know, if you're the Comedians Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, you have an open door to come on this podcast at any time. He's had an open door. He doesn't show up. He's avoiding my texts. He sends a lot of nonsensical information. And so anyway, last night he was on his Twitch stream. Okay? He's hosting a show for Twitch. And one of the Jabroniacs reached out, said to him, sent him, they had a Q&A section, said, hey, when are you going to give Dan a title shot for the Comedians Wrestling Heavyweight Championship? And this was his response. And I'm glad. Thank you to the Jabroniac who did that. I don't know who that was. Do we know who that was?
No, I don't know.
But anyway, that was fucking great. Here was his response.
He needs to go for a title shot the right way. Not attacking me, random places, and all this stuff. If you want a title shot, ask for it like a man. Send me an email. None of this, what have you, breaking in. I earned that title fair and square. I am a title holder for the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, and you can kick rocks until I'm ready to put it on the line.
Okay, now first off, he said he won it fair and square. If you watch the video, and you can on YouTube right now, check out my YouTube channel, Dan Black's YouTube channel, and it's in the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group. You can see the video. It's tagged as an announcement, the match. He had a stooge with him who bashed me with a kendo stick when I was doing well.
Yeah.
So, how could we forget?
Right. And thank you guys, especially Newman who stood up to defend me. That was back in June, but get versed in this if you have to. Okay. Now, he says in this recording, he says, stop attacking me. Which, by the way, he came in here masked to beat me up.
I mean,
okay?
Newman, you remember, you got fucking thrown
He threw
off
me off of UCB Sunset.
Yeah,
I know. I know. That was terrible. That was horrible. But you're doing well now, right?
I had a comeback, like Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you think you know me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough said.
No, we thought we knew you, but here's the deal. The thing I don't know is if he says, you got to be a man, come at me like a man. Send me an email. Now that's an interesting.
Well, he's very online. You know what I mean? Like he's got the Twitch stream. He's on Twitter all the time.
Gaming.
Right.
Always gaming. This is that's to him. It's like how you have to reach him.
Yeah, I know. And he lives in a digital space, you know, and I didn't even think. I said, oh, I have to match his behavior. I'm trying to crack the code of Iffy. And I'm like, you know what? He wants an email. I'm going to send him an email. So I know, guys, this is not the best podcast content. This is an audio content. We will get into the spiciness of Lesnar attack, Ricochet's title shot, Charlotte, Rhea Ripley, all that. But right now, I'm just going to draft an email to Iffy
on air.
I guess so. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm gonna try to do it like a man.
Do we have like hold? So, do we have like hold music that we're gonna play?
No, I'm just gonna
live
send it
to air.
Yeah, it's live to air. I mean, Iffy.
Yeah, talk it out.
Hello, this is Dan Black. I respectfully, like a man. What I spelled respectfully long, and we have this on video, so. I gotta correct that. Respectfully, would like a title shot. Thank you for your time, and I look forward.
I don't know if you need salutations.
Forward to your response. I know, but I okay. Regards. How about best?
Regards. I think
is the worst.
Yeah.
Regards.
Regards.
Regards. Regards.
Wait, yours?
Dan,
no, regards.
Sexually yours. No.
That's a weird choice.
Yeah, that was frankly inappropriate. Okay. Do you guys think this is a manly enough email?
Yeah, I mean,
let's hear what he said. Hold on.
He needs to go for a title shot the right way. Not attacking me, random places, and all this stuff. If you want a title shot, ask for it like a man.
I just
send me an email. None of this.
The music in the background almost sounds like we called like an Iffy hotline.
Yeah, it sounds like he's on the set of Sound of
1-800
Music.
1-800 call like, Iffy.
Here's how you get in touch with me.
1-900 call Iffy.
What should I be? What should the subject be?
What up, bitch?
No, I don't think that's like a man. He doesn't
request
like
for
request for
re colon request for title shot.
Cow title shot.
No, wait. Put RE colon and then a bunch of other RE colons and be like,
so it's like a whole chain.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a whole
yeah,
chain.
Yeah.
FWD.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If I send it to him, Iffy, hello, this is Dan Black, host of the Comedians Wrestling Podcast. Okay. Podcast. I respectfully, like a man, like a man would like a title shot. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to your response. Regards, Dan Black. Are we good with that?
I think we're good with that.
Okay.
Very cordial.
Okay. Let's get this so we can see it sent. Can we just get this here? Okay. All right. And sent. All right. Sent. Okay, guys. So thank you for dealing with that. So now
the
let's
request
see
has
if
been
I
sent.
Get a title shot because I'm ready. Right. I'm literally squatting 300 pounds. I'm in great shape. I'm ready to go. All right, you guys ready to talk about pro wrestling?
Want to ring the fucking bell?
Yeah, let's ring the bell.
All right. Turned off. The bell broke. The bell dinger broke.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
It hath been rung. We got to fix this fucking thing. We need your Patreon dollars.
Okay, so let's talk about wrestling. Here we go. So I gotta get in. I gotta talk about Raw for a sec, okay? And maybe by a sec, I mean for probably an hour.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So Raw opens with a package about the Orton attack on Edge,
right.
And I think it was fantastic. Honestly, I gotta say this opening to Raw is like why I watch wrestling.
Let's also just put it out there that this is like, what, the fourth Raw in a row that's been like very good.
Yes.
Watchable.
Raw, we've been saying it. WWE's on a roll right now.
Yeah.
They're on a roll right now. And I got to say, as a guy who tonight I put on NXT because of the Charlotte stuff, you know, I forgot AEW was on, which is crazy. That's crazy. Obviously, I'm going to watch AEW. It doesn't matter. And we recover it on the Patreon episode tomorrow with Nick Tullo. So I almost was like, I went for NXT, which was cool. Anyway, WWE's doing great. This Orton promo at the top, I thought it was great. I showed it to my wife. Okay. Oh, which I rarely do.
The litmus test.
But I was like, yo, I was like, this is why I watch wrestling. It's what I love about wrestling. It's a perfect blend of work shoot, right? It's real. His comeback is real. We feel for the guy in real life. We understand what he's saying. We know he's Adam Copeland, a guy who had to retire and who loved wrestling his whole life, right? But we see the character Edge in the shirt. He's coming back to wrestling, and we're like, all right, you're Edge, but we're feeling for Adam Copeland, like, which is just beautiful when you get it blended. The whole story, I showed it to her and I was like, look, because he really had to go. And then now he came back and people didn't know and they're going nuts. She's like, that's cool. He came back and got a little sappy. And my wife's like, oh, I like this. And she's like, okay, what's happening now? And then Orton gives the RKO to Edge. And my wife's like, oh my God.
Oh, cool.
Because she really was like, his neck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's the thing. It's like, yeah, is my wife now a wrestling fan? No, definitely not. But she was like, wow. She literally goes to me, she goes, this is so violent. Because then he gets the chair. And my wife's like, why do you need so much violence? And I'm like, that's you getting worked.
Right.
Right? Because yes. That chair hit is not dangerous.
No.
I would do that to any of you guys, right?
That would
be great. It's one chair underneath a chair, and you hit the chair with the chair, so it sounds loud.
It makes a sound, right.
Right. There's no impact. No. It's actually one of the shittiest chair shots you can do.
Right. In terms of, like, real violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, but she's like, oh, it's violence. She watches it, she doesn't even see that they're not hitting each other. Like, for her, it's the same thing as... like MMA, like yeah. is how she sees it.
Yeah, bum fights.
Well, and plus, like, you have real knowledge of a real injury when you see this.
But it was beautiful. Yes, like you're like, here's what I want to say. I got to watch my wife get worked by an out of nowhere RKO.
Right.
She didn't know that's his move.
Right. So for her, it's truly out
it's
of nowhere.
Truly yeah. Like, well, she was like, why'd he do that? Yeah.
Authentically out of nowhere. Yeah.
Because
wow. If
you watch how good the package is cut, and it's where WWE really shines, is in their editing and their, you know, their packages, right? Like forever, their video promos. Like, they take anything, you're like, oh, that wasn't perfectly executed. Once it's cut, it's like a masterpiece, you know? You're watching the best theater ever. But she was like, oh, they're going to get back together. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. No idea that, like, that's what wrestling is, where a guy just, like, will immediately be like, I'm mad
at you. Let alone Randy Orton.
Yeah. Right. She didn't know he's the fucking apex predator.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the artistry of that package before we get into Randy's actual promo. It's like, it starts with Edge on the stretcher and then takes you back to his promo in ring. It's like it's Tarantino cut, right? Like, it's like, goes back to, so it starts with him on the stretcher.
Yeah.
He goes back into the
there's a lot of really obscure,
ring.
Like, surf rock songs.
Yeah.
A lot of feet.
A lot of N-words.
A lot of feet. Uma Thurman's in there. But so, you didn't see her. But, like, he's on the stretcher being rolled out, which I don't think blew my wife's mind. Because he's wearing the... I think she's not like, she doesn't think like, oh, it's crazy they have a stretcher, but it's not just like a fake neck thing. Yeah. I think like if you're not like an avid watcher of wrestling, they have the real neck things.
Like the plastic stabilizer that you put on a real injured human being.
Yeah.
Because you know, people don't understand wrestling. They like, which by the way, will be the next thing we'll talk about. We'll talk about Tim Ryan, the congressman who does not understand wrestling. Clearly. But I'm saying, when they don't understand wrestling, they're like, oh, they don't, it's like, oh, you want to say you have a neck injury. Why bother getting a realistic neck, brace?
Right.
They're like, what? It's like fake. So you just like wrap something around and blah, blah, blah. But the difference of making it like super real and selling it like any theater goes a mile in wrestling.
To that point.
Especially with violence. It makes violence look sometimes scary.
To that point though, right? Wrestling does that better than like television shows. Because in TV shows, people will get stabbed and shot and keep going.
Right.
But in real life, you'd be down. Right? So in wrestling, you get your neck hurt. Here comes the real apparatus. Maybe on fucking Walking Dead, they'll wrap a bandage around it and call it a day.
Oh, yeah.
But not in wrestling, my friend.
Like, Right. And that's what you get the real time. Look, I'm not going to sell why wrestling's so good. I did that, I think, last week or whatever. Yeah. I can go into a hole. You know my feelings. It's love. We've been through it. Right. Wrestling is love. Is love is rest. That's my Lin-Manuel. But
Barfaroni. Lame ass guy. So lame. He's the lamest.
He's a great example of early
talent, but corny as fuck.
Early onset boomerism.
Ugh.
I don't really know. I don't know any of his work besides Hamilton, which I think is actually a masterpiece. Like I adore it. I love it. But I've never seen the show. I just like the album.
Yeah, I think that same here. I like some songs, but I've never seen it.
And I also
Ship has sailed for me.
Yes, but then in the Heights trailer, it looks great.
There's
gonna
be
a
Hamilton movie.
What?
There's gonna be a Hamilton movie.
When?
I don't know. I read a headline about it.
Oh, this soon? I feel like they're gonna wait forever because the show is so popular.
Is there a wrestler in it?
Batista would make a great Aaron Burr.
Oh my god, that'd be the best. But okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know Lin-Manuel. But
he's like, who's the guy that
I buy that?
Who's the guy that Aaron Burr shot?
Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he wants a duel. Like, give me what I want. Give me what I want.
Anyway.
Fuck yeah.
So, why was I talking about Lin-Manuel? Oh, wrestling. I could veer off about how awesome it is.
Love
like,
it.
Think about when Foley is getting, like, after the Hell of a Cell, getting wheeled out on the gurney.
Right.
And, like, the whole 20,000 people are willing to just watch a guy get slowly rolled. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, a traditional theater would go against that. But anyway, here's the deal. So that package goes back to the Edge Orton package. Edge, he gets placed on that gurney. Then he's cutting his promo from Monday Night Raw last week, right? He's cutting that promo last week. And then it goes, while he's doing that, it goes to the Rumble.
Yeah, right? His entrance.
Yeah, then it goes to the Rumble. They're like, oh, here's that. And then it goes back to Orton coming in and congratulating him. And then he ends back on the gurney in this promo, in this package. It's a very nice. It's a couple minutes at the top of Raw, but it's so well done. Then it sets it up totally, tells the entire story. You could not know wrestling at all, not know what's going on, watch that package and get why Orton is getting booed. But that Orton boo, when wrestling can really tap into your emotions like that, where Orton comes out and we all know he deserves us to boo him like we're actually mad at him.
Right.
That's when we're firing on all cylinders. And Randy coming in just looking like the piece of trash that he is. I mean, he's a...
Couldn't stop laughing.
He's a walking snake, right? I mean, he's a human snake.
Yes. He's a viper.
That's why he works, right? Like AJ, I always bring AJ as the example because he's the example of when the gimmick works where you're like, he's phenomenal, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Orton, I mean, like, the thing is, right? It's
the apex predator.
But if you look at him, if you look at Orton, he doesn't have a costume.
No.
He doesn't have, he's not festooned with feathers or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would say, oh, does Randy Orton have a gimmick? Oh, maybe not, right? But he does. He has a better gimmick than a lot of people do.
Well, the argument would be like, he doesn't have a gimmick, he has a character.
Right.
Right?
Right. But I think if more wrestlers thought
But I still call it a gimmick.
Right. But I think if more wrestlers thought of their gimmick as like the way they perform and the way they wrestle, like Aleister Black does it a little bit now, where he kind of does the Undertaker fast, slow thing. Like he found a way that this character would wrestle. Randy Orton's found a way that this person operates, and that's his gimmick. I think today's wrestlers could learn something.
Learn something from Randy Orton.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of... Look, the thing with Randy Orton is why I always have a problem when he gets criticism. I was talking about Randy. I have a couple thoughts on him. First thing I'll start with Randy is I think he's one of my guys. I mean, no...
I declared him one of my guys recently.
He's one of my guys for a very long time. Like, I've been buying Orton merch. Like, I searched far and wide for that Legend Killer hoodie, which I rock. Like, I love Randy. Always loved Randy. One thing I truly adore about the man is his gear. Right. Like, I love that he's one of the only guys now just rocking the trunks and really pulling it off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I just want to say, he's been in shape, that kind of shape, pretty close. I mean, he'll get a little pudgy here and there, whatever, for this whole, like, what, 15 years?
Right.
Yeah, if you look back, he looks identical, you know, 15 years ago. The only variance is his hair. Sometimes
he's not a natural bald.
He's a self bald.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's Randy Hair Orton.
Right.
So that's the only difference.
And then I don't think he's changed his trunks almost ever. Like, he's had different colors, but he's always just had his tattoo design on the trunks. And I feel like he believes. It's part of what really works about it. It's like, this is what a wrestler looks like. Mm-hmm. And it goes a long way. He's a huge guy. He sets the fucking bar for what these guys should look like is the reality. Doesn't mean you have to. Everyone knows my stance on this, which is there's just always room for a nice jacked up dude.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to be that, right?
Right.
You can dazzle the crowd like a Kevin Owens, 100%. Get on the microphone, always win. You know, Mania main events are built on the microphone, except for Roman Reigns. But the thing with him is that if his character is always applicable, which is that when he's a heel, he has extremely loose morals, right? Like he will.
I mean, I would even argue not loose morals. Like he is actively.
He has a reptilian brain, right?
Yeah, he actively betrays people by choice.
Right, right.
That's not loose.
And
he can.
It's chaotic, like, evil.
Yeah, it's chaotic evil. And when he does it, he literally has no expression on his face,
right,
like a snake. The man is a snake. He works.
Snakes, so well. Notoriously stoic creatures.
Yeah.
Right.
He has that third eyelid that covers his eye when he blinks.
And his kids were born in eggs.
He sees like heat vision, like the predator.
Yeah.
I would love if he revealed that in.
Like, it's dark.
But here's where Randy always gets it takes a knock. It's like, he's had some tremendous lulls. You know, the thing with him is that when he's on, like right now, he's one of the greats.
Yeah.
But if you look at his career, he's had some valleys and where he kind of checks out. And, you know, Triple H, I've seen him on record literally be like, no, it's like Randy can do anything when he wants to.
Right.
And you see, he loves this Edge thing. He loved his AJ feud. I mean, when he faked the knee.
Right.
He loved that. So when he cares, he's one of the best.
Right. Yeah.
So it's great. Yeah, I mean, what separates, while we're talking about it, dissect it to an unhealthy degree.
Sure.
Let's go deeper.
What makes him different from, like, who's another guy who's just a bad guy? What makes him more worse?
We could go, Drew McIntyre, he was a heel recently enough to talk about it.
Well, I think, Randy, he betrayed his friend, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's different than just being a dickhead or, attacking running riff shot on anyone. Yeah.
Rollins, Markitect run. Architect run.
Easy.
Architect run. Oof. Rollins run with the briefcase, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, oh, it's best for business, right?
Yeah.
That was all about the briefcase. He was like, it's not, his shirt literally said, it's not cashing in, it's not selling out, it's cashing in.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That makes more sense, right? It's cashing in.
Right.
So that, it's like, okay, he never felt, he felt like an opportunist as opposed to a true, not degenerate. Degenerate's a whole other bunch of guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those guys are more like frat guys.
Right.
It's more like right? Like a villain.
The methodical psychopath.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's more like, what's the guy who calls people Reek in Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah. Ramsay.
Like, he's more like Ramsay.
Ramsay Bolton. Yeah. Was it Bolton?
I don't know. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like when that's it. He's as evil. He's as evil as it gets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's not scary evil like a Bray. It's not. He's not a spooky boy.
Right.
He's not a party boy. Yeah. Right. He's not a
ladies' man.
He's not a ladies' man, and he's not a opportunist. Right.
Right.
He literally is like the kid in class who's like trying to be a good kid, but he gets detention every day and accidentally stabs the teacher
in the hand with a pencil.
I know kids like this. Yeah. Who are like, you're like talking to them, they're like normal, but then all of a sudden they're like fucking they're like, the cops are arresting
them. Those people are murderers now.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's with Randy, he also has the benefit of... So it's like the... You ever see One Punch Man?
No.
It's an anime on Netflix. So the premise is that this guy, he can beat any of the villains that come every episode
right.
with one punch. That's it. And every time... The villain talks a big thing and he just boops him and he's dead. And the show does a good job of making you forget that it's One Punch Man and he's just going to hit him once and it's over.
Right.
So with Randy, he makes you, it's like, we know he's a viper. We know right. it's going right. to happen. And yet he has the ability to like make you forget. And like, maybe it's not going to be this
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Like when he took Edge in his arms, it was like, oh, this is a nice moment. Even though, you know,
right.
like, It was still like how cute.
Right.
That
it's in his nature.
Yeah.
That out of nowhere RKO was one of his least out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I almost saw him like truthfully, I feel like he kind of gave it away and he was probably looking out for Edge's neck. I feel like he felt like Edge was not in position.
Right.
And it does a little
this
stutter
is such a side thing, but they're really taking care of Edge. To the point where in the Rumble, I've texted this Nick Tulo, in the Rumble, when Matt Riddle delivers his like V-trigger kick, you hear him say to Edge, like to the right. Like you hear him say like where it's coming before he hits him with it so he can like move his head.
Yeah.
That's all.
There's a lot of respect there. People don't want to.
Well, anyway, when he was getting booed, it was perfect. I was like, oh, please, I hope he doesn't say anything. And he almost said nothing.
Yeah.
And Orton had said to walk off.
I can't do this.
I can't do this.
I love
he's
that.
Kind of, he's like
layers.
Fucking disgusting with himself, but he knows it had to be done. I don't know.
Is he though? Is he disgusting with himself?
But it's so cool that he doesn't come out and go like, I did that to piss you guys off. It's like, this is just who I am.
I can't, I hear voices.
And he stood out there for the longest. Like, he soaks it in.
Oh, God. He was so good. He gets, oh, my God. You're just reminding me. He gets up on the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And when he gets up there, he moves so slow.
Yeah.
Right? So slowly.
Slithering.
And then he's going to put his arms up, you know, and you're like, he's getting fucking pummeled with booze. And compare that, by the way, to, and I was there, very bad seats. Very bad seats.
Worst seats.
Terrible seats. Some of the worst seats. I when Roman was getting booed after retiring Taker, he said, "This is my yard now." I was in the house for that. Literally the last row at the top. So we have a thing where, like, we'll spend money. Like, if we spend money on Mania tickets, we're like, we'll cheap out on Raw. You know what I mean? We're just like sitting there. I literally had the last row in, where was that? Orlando. I don't know. Wherever the
camera
magic,
guy's
wherever
like, hey, hold this for me for a second.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, I really love it. Sometimes if you sit high up, you can just like sit. You kind of can just watch,
right?
Which is fun. Sometimes if you're in it, you feel obligated to like kind of get into the action. But by Monday after Raw, it's nice to just chill in the arena and we're like just chatting.
I mean, honestly, if you think of it like that, like I'll pay $25 to watch Raw on a giant screen while it's also happening.
Yeah,
right.
And you're like hearing it live, and it's an experience.
That is, you're also watching the screen mostly. Right. But anyway, so. What was I saying? Oh, that. Compare that. Reigns just stood there. And like, not to... look, I know I'm giving him a hard time as of late and whatever, but Randy, the expert, Randy milking those boos was so much more masterful than... I'll go back and watch it, but he just kind of stood there and it happened to him, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I guess he handled it correctly because he didn't interrupt it. But like, Randy was like walking around the ring. He literally, at one point, he calls for, he's eliciting boos by not getting in the ring, right? He's on the apron and then he puts his head down to like go through the rope and he knows like, oh, if I milk it like this, I'll get boos by just going in the ring.
Right.
So he hesitates before going in, goes back out and they're like, boo. It's like kind of a masterclass on milking a crowd.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, great. All right. Anyway, let's talk about this. Are we recording? I don't know. I had too much coffee.
Mark that.
Oh, man. Anyway, so I want to talk. Did you guys see this? You guys heard about this? Do you see Tim Ryan's tweet about?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So he put out a tweet. He's what, a Democratic senator from Ohio?
Yes.
He's in the House of Representatives. Okay. Okay. So he was at the state. Look, we're not getting political here. Okay. Because it'll only because it'll distract. But okay, so he walked out of the State of the Union saying that it was ridiculous during Trump's speech, being like, "This is pro wrestling." Tweeted that out, right? And then got backlash from the pro wrestling community of all being like, "Hey, don't compare what you do to pro wrestling."
Right.
Now Kane jumped down his throat. JR jumped down his throat. I saw the tweet from Kane. He was kind of like, what you guys do is doesn't make people, you guys don't even get anything done. At least we get our job done, something like that. You know, how do you guys feel about the use of pro wrestling in this context?
Look, dude, I think it's very interesting that, you know, all the times that wrestlers, like anybody, has a chance to criticize a politician or a president or a government, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have just as many opportunities as everybody else. And it's not until some whoever says the most, not even, it wasn't even a criticism of wrestling. He deigned to compare it to what he saw as something being fake. And they fucking lost their minds. Like,
everybody loses their mind.
I mean, they're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't, like, it's such, it feels like they're being worked. It feels like they had this, like, what this, like, immediate reaction.
Knee-jerk reaction.
Oh, just, what do you mean it's fake? It's not fake. What you do is fake. Like, whoa, dudes. Whoa. We already know you're the most sensitive people in the world. You don't like it when people don't shake your hands. We've had this conversation.
Yeah.
You can't have a hissy fit all at the same time because somebody said, the wrestling was fake.
Mm-hmm.
You get in the ring, you see how fake it is. Come on, guys.
Right.
Relax. Relax.
You know,
I'm with you.
Because it is like wrestling, but not for the reasons that guy said. Like, politics is, I mean, like Jesse Ventura said that. He's like, they're all French behind the scenes, you know, or whatever.
Right. My thing is this, is that, like, I have my stand-up special about pro wrestling. Like, I pretty much defend pro wrestling. I try to do it in a comedic way, even though I mean it. Like, I'm like, oh, it's disrespected as an art form, which I think is 100% true. I think pro wrestling is on another level than a lot of stuff I'm seeing. Okay, that's very popular. Okay, it's live theater. It's exactly everything. We're not getting into all that. You know how I feel about that. If you don't feel, go to adultwrestlingfan.com and you can see how I feel about this. I think this thing, I think it was people being a little sensitive, right? And not, like, if you have ever done improv, I always go back to this, but improv, one thing the improv has that's incredible, it teaches you, is how to communicate with people in a way that's effective, because if you don't, you're screwed and you look dumb.
Right.
Because you're on stage, if you're not moving your scene forward, right? Then you if you get stuck in a fight, right? A lot of times in a fight, then you are not going to be funny. And that's just like the worst thing you want when you're making something up. So when you're doing improv, you have to work together. The whole Congress should fucking take an improv class. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like, if you can't work together, you actually can't do this thing. And there's nothing worse than bombing, right?
Yeah, nothing worse than bad improv.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Ugh.
So... one thing I've learned about improv is, like, if somebody says something, hear what they mean and respond to that.
Right.
If you start getting caught up in a fucking Abbott and Costello routine of, like, who's on first, then that's hard to write, because now you're both operating separately.
Right.
You're like, oh, now you have two characters not understanding what each other's saying, and you get stuck. This is what this reminds me of, right?
Yes.
Where you're like, all right, it's like, this is like professional wrestling. It's not an insult of pro wrestling to be like, Congress is operating like pro wrestling.
Right.
As a matter of fact, to me, it's kind of a compliment because you're saying, well, there's something that has such, you're actually, pro wrestling has such clarity of product that it can be used as a comparison.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If so, like, you can't say, you he couldn't be like, oh my God, like, this is like manga.
Right.
You couldn't say that or something.
Yeah,
right?
I walked out of that State of the Union. It was like Shonen Jump Volume 2.
Yeah. You say like, you would never be like, I feel like I'm watching, I'm looking at an abstract painting.
Right.
Right? Like, you that wouldn't offend you. You know what I mean? Now, I know why. Right. I know why pro wrestling fans are offended by it. But there's this behavior on Twitter, and Arlen is susceptible, my best friend Arlen is susceptible to it.
Yeah.
Where we look for things to respond with cynical responses, right? So, like, I keep bringing up this example. You let me about the Lady Gaga tweet.
I'm not sure, but speak on it.
All right, Lady Gaga tweeted, "Fame is prison."
Yeah.
Okay. Someone had a response that went like very retweeted.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. Viral. A viral retweet that was like, "No, prison is prison." Right. Okay. Oh, so fucking brilliant, right?
Like,
okay, so you don't understand that Lady Gaga, who is successful, also has is in some kind of prison. She actually is. Like, I'm not like a big defender of her. She,
I am.
She can't. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I'm a major fan of hers.
One of your guys.
But, definitely
she's
one of my guys.
My
Gaga,
favorite.
Yeah.
One of my guys. Oh, New God. York Italian, one of my guys.
Yes. So just like you, a New York Italian.
Yeah.
S.C. on K-Boss.
Yeah. For another episode, I have something to say about that. But
he's stage Italian.
Teaser.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I love her so much.
But so, right? Like, you don't understand, Lady. Can we not understand each other?
Well,
we live in a society where everything is, like, to be honest, everything is pro wrestling.
Right.
If you want to say, Lady Gaga, oh, fame is prison, you want to respond, no, prison is prison. What you're, that's pro wrestling.
Right.
Right? That's starting a problem for almost no reason.
Yes.
Right? It's because you're like, so you think Lady Gaga, who's, let's, if you want to talk about prison system, it's probably more of a Democratic,
right?
Because the Republican Party tends to typically leans towards law and order type, like more pro cops, right? And then I'm simplifying it tremendously.
Yeah.
So Lady Gaga, a big Democrat, giving a lot of money to progressive causes, blah blah blah. So you can't understand her point there. Now you could say it's just a tweet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think that this is a symptom of our society now where we're all just yelling at each other, right?
I hate it.
Yeah, I think, social media obviously is the worst thing ever invented. Experiment failed. But I think the argument
except for the Comedians Wrestling Facebook page.
If I can do Devil's Avocado for a second.
Oh.
Yeah. You can, I'm going to allow you to do Devil's Avocado.
Okay. The argument might be that while fame is a prison in a sense.
So when you say Devil's Avocado, by the way, I could go, what's that? Or I could understand that you took avocado and you were trying
advocate.
To say a funny way to say advocate, and I could just take it in, let it fucking go and understand.
Right.
Or I could get caught up in that.
Right.
Just saying.
Yes.
As an example.
Go. Correct. Now, the argument might be that while Lady Gaga is in a prison in a sense with fame, she can't go out, she can't shop, she can't do normal things that everybody else does without, you know, worrying about being...
You think you know me.
Right? People coming up to her and bothering her, right?
Yeah.
So in a sense, yes, she is in a prison. But the argument might be that while that is true, it's not as bad as actual prison.
Right.
And therefore... quit your bitching.
Yeah.
You're a free person.
Right. So the argument is that our artists can't be overly dramatic.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just saying that's what the argument
that's
is.
He's being devil's avocado.
No, I'm just saying. No, I'm playing. I'm also.
That's exactly what the avocado's argument is.
Right.
But it's dumb. It's
a
tweet.
But, even if that's true, yes, you are. Quit your bitching, right?
Right.
It's so much easier to not say anything back to that and not give it the energy, because what you're actually doing is you think you're saying to her and you're dunking on her and you're owning her,
right?
But what you're really doing is you're engaging with her tweet, letting Twitter know that it's important.
But that's why you're doing it.
Right? Yeah, and then you have your little thing where you put it on your marketing profile where they're going to sell because you tweeted it.
It's disgusting.
It's going to go to ads and it's going to get, right? So it's so much easier and better to just not, you don't have to dunk on everybody.
I am tested
daily on Twitter and I fail constantly.
I'm looking at Twitter and replying to like friends and stuff, but I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I heard someone say like how like in the future people will look at social media like people look at cigarettes now.
Right.
And I think about that all the time and I'm like, I just can't, like, unless it's at Kyle Podcast related, or Instagram, which I'm totally fine with. I can't. It's people are so mean.
You're right though. You're right.
No,
like,
it is.
It's like you
I don't even think it's like. I think there's some validity to that argument also. Like, hey, maybe it's time our celebrities have more, more accountability.
Point, right?
It's the same thing as Gervais saying, like, yo, you all work for Apple. Like, you know what I mean? So whatever. There's arguments all over the place, but the clap back on each other is the divisive behavior.
Right.
And that's a symptom of what social media is. I don't think either of those two people are truthfully, deeply in the wrong. They're playing the game now. This is what the game is.
Right.
Because it's 140 characters. What are you going to write? Hey, Lady Gaga, I know you're... That must be hard for you.
It's 280, but
it must be... What?
It's 280.
Oh, 280, right.
You say...
You say, hey, Lady Gaga, I'm sorry. I know it's hard for you, your life, and it feels like a prison. What are your stances on the actual prison system now that you mentioned that?
Right.
Because how do you feel about privatization of prisons?
Well,
because
that's not dunking. People get off on the dunk. Like, they don't want to really know. They're just like, fuck this. Like, I'm going to show you famous person who could, like, buy and sell me any day of the week.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's as easy, though, for Lady Gaga not to tweet that.
And so this goes back to this Tim Ryan thing, which is like, the guy meant that this is a circus.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't see the circus people. If he said circus, right?
Part of it.
Ringling
Bailey,
Brothers would be nuts.
How about you get in here, you tame these lions, you tell me how much of a
you abuse
fake it
these
is.
Animals.
It's right. Circus people, you stand up for
Yeah, guys. You torture these elephants, you tell me it's easy.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just funny. But it's again,
they remember.
My point is, Arlen loves this shit.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it all later.
That doesn't sound like Arlen.
He sends me like retweets like that, being like, hey, that was a good one. And like being like, that's good. And I'm like, wow.
He's too deep.
I truly hate this behavior.
That's too deep.
Anyway, but we're all susceptible to it because when I first saw that tweet, I was like, oh, that's funny.
Right.
I literally thought, that's funny. And it's worth just hitting one button to share it with somebody. There's no consequence for that.
Right.
But ultimately, we are doomed with this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're doomed to never get along. Anyway, so that's
just
the thing.
Log off. Everyone log off.
This
guy's
literally talking about the State of the Union. We could not have missed the point more of that by taking it as an insult on professional wrestling.
Right.
That's the wrestling of
but
the
that's
whole
what
thing.
I mean, though. It's like it's Trump is an insane person. And he gets on TV and he says he babbles and fucking croaks. And Jim Ross has nothing to say about it. And then someone dares mention the word wrestling. And they all have this conniption. It's like, how performative is this?
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not going to say the word, but it's like, they're triggered.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, all I can say to everyone is how I look at things.
Right.
I'd say this is not about, I'm not telling you how to vote, I'm not telling you anything. Follow the money.
But vote for
money.
Bernie Sanders. Right.
Follow the money. That's all you got to say. Follow the money.
Follow the money.
Follow, it's just true.
Right.
Okay, anyway.
Google was started by a grant from MIT.
Okay, this stuff will never end. Let's talk about Charlotte and Rhea.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, so Charlotte comes out on Raw like expected. She has not announced. She has an announcement. What title? Everyone was chanting Rhea. It's My Brutality showed up. Whatever her deal is, I'm on record. Not a Rhea Ripley mark. Let me tell you, Rhea Ripley, not one of my guys I don't understand her deal at all. She's wearing contact lenses, which, by the way, never works.
Oof.
The contact lenses never work. It's a way to distance yourself. Eyes are how we connect.
Right?
The only guy that it ever kind of worked, I mean, I'd like to know examples of guys who worked for maybe Gangrel because he was a vampire gimmick, but he had clarity of character why he had it. It was terrible for Reigns. It was when he had him. Rollins wore him one time for that game. I'm fine.
For the Game of Thrones
for the big Mania entrance. Fine, fine, fine. A touch of it. But what? To come out, you're on television. Your eyes are what? How people connect with you. It's acting, right? Like,
yeah, we've seen your real eye color before. Like, we know.
Why is
she wearing
that?
These are Marilyn Manson contacts.
What is the logic there? It doesn't fit the character at all. Like, for example, Becky comes out in those glasses. Those perfectly fit the man character.
For the meme glasses.
Like, I'm the man, had a big win. I went out, bought myself some new sunglasses. Like, and she walks down like a boss, and she's like, I picked these up. In my mind, I'm like, oh, she was walking by, saw those, threw them on, I'll wear these on Raw. Like, it's cool. What is Rhea Ripley's deal? What is it?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I don't not People like her, though.
No, she's a talent.
Yeah.
100%. She belongs to WWE. She should not be the NXT Women's Champion, in my opinion. The champion should be Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I agree.
Love that.
Yeah, and I actually believe Bianca Belair is going to take the title off of that. Portland will take it off, and then we're going to see Charlotte. Bianca is the match I want to see. Two talents who can actually run promos at each other. As expected, Rhea came out, cut my least favorite kind of promo. The same promo Toni Storm cut on her at NXT when she showed up to say, hey, you know what? I actually beat you once. Like that. That, you know what? I was thinking the other day.
The walk down memory lane promo.
I was sitting on the veranda enjoying a nice hot cup of rooibos tea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it dawned upon me. I've defeated you previously.
Yeah. You know, I actually beat you before. It's like, oh my God. Like, come on. Like, this is Charlotte Flair. This is Ric Flair's daughter. This is a 10-time women's champion. Like, you should be like, hey, I'd say something more specific. Anyway, whatever. But she can't do anything because she has no character. Mm-hmm. You know, she looks awesome. She's talented. She's huge. She's bigger than Charlotte.
Yeah.
It makes sense on paper, you know? But I think it's always kind of the trap. It's always the trap of the women's division is like there's a thin cast. There's not as much talent. So everyone rises through the ranks.
You mean in numbers wise?
Numbers wise.
Right.
Just pure numbers game. Two titles, three titles now for the amount of developed women's talent. They get less TV time, right?
Which is
they
its
get
own.
Less promo.
Yeah.
Right. So we have great women talent, but they're not developed enough. And if you think about the title, think about all the wrestlers. Naomi came out. I was like, oh, Naomi. I think Naomi, Nia Jax, Carmella, every woman has been the champion.
Yeah.
Almost all of them. They just pass it around. Natalia was the champ like last year. It's just passed around. It's almost like WWE doesn't take it seriously enough.
Everyone except Dana Brooke.
There you go.
Dana Brooke. It's like, so, well, Dana Brooke is going to be in a great position.
Yeah.
Because Dana Brooke gets hurt on TV. She doesn't win, right? Eventually, she'll have her Kofi moment.
Right.
And it'll be one of the more impactful things because it's a talent who you want to see come up through the ranks. You want to see...
Someone who just hasn't won ever.
Right. Someone you idolize.
Someone you idolize.
God. I think about that all the time.
The Charlotte. So I understand. I'm happy to eat these words. I'm open to Rhea. Look, best thing about wrestling is you turn on a dime. Like wrestler just all of a sudden goes heel and you're like, wow, that worked. But I just don't see Rhea developing at all. Like I see her just putting on more stuff.
Yeah. I think right now she is in the zone where it's like she looks cool.
She looks great. I mean, that's her whole thing is her look.
And that's like where she's at right now, where it's like, yep, looks cool, checks that box.
And she's the only other women's wrestler who's the same size as Charlotte.
Right.
She's jacked.
I like watching her wrestle. I think she's a good wrestler.
Right.
But yeah, for that reason, I would like some more depth of character.
If Rhea beat Charlotte at Mania, would that feel right?
No.
She needs to lose to Charlotte.
Right.
Then Charlotte become NXT champion?
Well, here's the thing. I think, so you mentioned that you forgot. Not that you didn't watch AEW, you forgot about AEW tonight.
It's just that I put on, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Here's why.
Yeah.
You were watching Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it was a SmackDown with Charlotte, right? Raw. You're watching Raw. You see Charlotte. I'm going to NXT.
Yeah.
You tuned into NXT to watch because if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it seems like hopefully WWE is going to start threading those storylines through the two or three shows.
Yeah, I love that.
Angel Garza, same thing happened.
Well, yeah, we're going to get to him next. Okay.
Here is where AEW, their biggest flaw is being exploited.
Right.
They don't have writers. They don't have storylines to the level.
I heard they do have writers.
Okay. Mazel
tov. I don't know if it's true. Right. I just was, in one of my, what I do on the weekend is I go to like a party, and I go to like a party, like there'll be a bunch of comedians there, and then I find the ones who watch wrestling, or they find me, and then we find a nice corner to hang out in.
And talk only about wrestling.
Yeah.
But my
somebody told me they have a couple writers.
Great. Perfect. But my point is, they can't do this type of stuff and make someone like you, who has been an AEW guy, forget that it was even on.
Yeah. I will say the weird thing. That is true. The weird thing was I was like in my head, oh, I'm going to watch NXT first because I want to report on what happened with Charlotte on the pod. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I was like, oh, I want to make sure I get to that before because we record on Wednesdays and, you know, we cover NXT AEW on the Patreon episodes that comes out Friday morning. For a couple bucks. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Come on,
guys,
support the pod.
Grassroots.
Yeah. But I was like, I want to see that. But I actually, yeah. So, and yeah. So, yeah. I'm saying it worked out for them. But yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying Rhea Ripley. I know. I feel like she is a perfect example of Full Sail heat. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly.
We'll see.
I think they're probably going Becky Shayna, right? That seems to be probably where they're headed.
Yeah.
Maybe Shayna shows up to that Asuka match in Saudi Arabia. Oh, that's
not
happening.
No, there's
that's
no such
happening.
Thing.
No.
I, in my head, was like, oh, because Asuka asked for a title shot again from Becky, and then in my head was like, oh, well, that makes sense. It'll probably hit the chamber.
Yeah,
it will not be. Yeah. Although they have, it might happen in Saudi Arabia.
I don't think so.
Rhea Ripley has been wrestling, period,
right,
for 7 years.
Okay.
That is not a lot of time.
No,
she's nowhere.
Young, right?
She's 23.
She's
23.
No, 23, bro.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah,
right. As a hopefully,
yeah, she belongs.
She'll
she
find
belongs
it.
Signed. I totally get it. She belongs maybe in the title picture or whatever. But I'm just saying,
Bianca Belair has such a better.
I'm frustrated for her. I'm on her side.
Right.
I'm on Rhea Ripley's side. Is that she's an underdeveloped talent and she's falling victim to the problem in the women's division, which is that they need more talent, so then talent who are doing all right get pushed.
Right.
And that's why Bianca's doing so well. And like Velveteen, those are two talents who kind of somehow have been able to develop their thing without. Well, Velveteen is a guy, so whatever. But I'm saying with Bianca, she's kind of been like shafted a little to her benefit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a nice place to operate from when you have to like. There's like kind of nowhere to go but up.
Right.
Right. And it's like, it's not the expectations of, oh, now you're the champion. There's a thing that happens when you become the champion. Everyone assumes you're cooked.
Right.
You're done. You're out of the oven. And probably rightfully so, right?
Right.
That's not how wrestling works at all. I mean, we have examples of guys like CM Punk won the title that first time and they took it off him.
Right.
And, you know, you can argue against it, but that made him. I think that really put the chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That first time he won the Money in the Bank and then he cashed in and he lost the title really fast. I don't even remember what happened, but it's like Drew McIntyre got fired, you know? You know what I'm saying on it.
Yeah.
I'm on her side. She needs more time. And then what happens to, I'd say, what happens when like Bayley has came into a WrestleMania, the pinnacle of wrestling. Walked in as champion, walked out as champion. Mm. Bayley. Right? So now, why would she ever think I have to develop more?
Right.
She has to dig deep. I mean, guys, this kind of sentiment is well covered in the Taylor Swift documentary also.
Oh, brother. I will not be watching. I'll be watching the Gaga documentary again.
My wife put it on and then I finished it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. But she talks about winning like a Grammy and for like best artist, best album, and then just being like, what do you do when you win that?
You make another best album.
And then she did. And then she did. It's called 1989. A great album. It is a great album. I love it. Okay. You guys like 1989, no?
I've never listened to it. Ryan Adams.
By Jack Antonoff. You guys are genius.
Oh, brother. Ryan Adams, who has been canceled, but you see my favorite singer-songwriter, covered the album. Like, released.
Was it good?
I think it was. I think people liked it. Because they kind of like, he and Taylor Swift were like buddies at the time, kind of. And so he covered the whole album.
But I think there's a song on 1989 that I've heard that I really that I liked a lot.
Nice to meet you.
No.
Was it? All right. Anyway, let's move on to
My grandmother used to. She was like, she looks like an animated deer.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She, that was my grandma's burn on her.
That's a sick
she
burn.
She looks like Bambi.
Sick burn, Granny.
I don't like this talk about her. Okay, especially after watching the doc. I know how sensitive she is.
Oh, bro.
Okay.
Oh, brother, so sensitive.
No, I'm actually not. It's weird. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan at all. Uh-huh. But I love that one album. Like, I can just put that on. I think it's very good.
Right. She's one of the. I mean, she's undeniably talented.
I don't care for it.
Yeah.
She is talented. I just don't care for it.
Yeah. Anyway,
check out 5'2", the Gaga documentary. It's probably way better.
Love Gaga. I mean, I did think a lot about Gaga when I was watching that.
Did you see her on Netflix?
Yeah. Because I was like, because Gaga is such a fucking mega talent.
Yeah.
I mean, when she sings, it's like, oh my God, like you literally are a god.
Her voice gives
me chills. If you haven't heard on Howard Stern, those are some of her best performances. She comes in there like 7 in the morning, just plays songs on the piano by herself. And you're like, wow, what a talent. And one of the reasons I point out those performances, so many artists, they always come on and complain about how early it is in the morning.
Oh.
Because they're like, it's hard to sing in the morning.
Yeah.
You know,
not her. She got up at 4:30 in the morning. She's like the Rock of pop stars. She gets up at 4:30 in the morning. She's like, oh, anybody else up? Nope, just me. I have access to all the unconscious energy.
Uh-huh.
And get ready. I'm going to do my lemon. I'm going to do my hot water.
Yeah.
Hair like a pro.
I'm so far away from whatever the fuck the rocks. I feel like I am. I work out a shit ton.
Right.
I eat right. I monitor my food. Like, I'm pretty regimented. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I like know things I want to do, but I'm so far away from that rock schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, I am so heat. Like, to get up 4 a.m. I go to the gym sometimes 7 a.m. I'm dead.
Right.
And like dead. I get in there and I do it.
What time are you going to bed?
That's the key. I was just going to ask. We talked about this over the summer on the sleep episode, but you got to figure out what time does The Rock go to bed. He's got to hit the sack early.
You think The Rock's going to bed at like 6 p.m.?
No, like probably 9.
His schedule's all... But I mean, also, keep in mind, you can get into a rhythm. I do well in a schedule like anyone. This guy, what?
There is a chance that we're getting worked. By The Rock.
Yeah, we get worked, but you see the results.
Well, you think he's setting the clocks back?
No, but I'm saying, like, right, some of those
he
results.
Controls time?
Yeah. That's why he's one of my guys. He's a chronomancer. No, but, like,
is that a word?
I mean, it is,
I love that.
Yeah.
Chrono
means time, mancer means,
That's how I know it. I love it, and I just know, like, the root words, you know? And I'm like, oh, I know what that means, but I've never heard the term.
He's a chronomancer. But The Rock, I think it's possible that some of those results are because he has doctors who say, hey, you're 50 years old.
Right.
Your testosterone levels should be at a certain level. Yeah. I'm going to prescribe you.
You think you know me.
Some testosterone to get it up there. And
if
then,
you smell what The Rock is cooking.
What The Rock is cooking is free testosterone.
No, I mean, look, he's getting injected.
He's on Nugenics.
He's on IVs all the time. He's on Frank Thomas.
Hit him with the hurt.
Big hurt.
By the way, this song, my two favorite wrestling songs, okay? Entrance themes. This one, I think, beats out Stone Cold for me, even though...
But those are both tracks. Those are both tracks.
Because my two favorite, in the category of track, because of the electric guitar here. I'm not saying it's good electric guitar, Newman. It's fine. But it gives it such a nuance. And I don't think he's ever, ever, ever had the Shinsuke entrance where someone comes and rocks out on the guitar. Because he doesn't need it, because he is a guitar. He's
everything.
He is a guitar.
Anyway, I love that. And then my other favorite wrestling song. There's a track wrestling song is that one. And then my other favorite one is decidedly this.
You think you know me.
Sorry. I got so far. Yeah, I love it. But something about Edge, when he used to enter, he had a perfect, he had that one puff of smoke that came out of the center there. It went every time, and he would come and just kind of, he's had such a great energy. And he was such a slime. All right, anyway, I talked about that a bunch last week.
Edgerny.
Okay, so let's talk about one of my guys' watch list that I was discussing right now. Mm-hmm. On the list is Darby Allin, Buddy Murphy, and I moved Bianca Belair up officially to be one of my guys, which meaning, by the way, if you're one of my, this is a rule I use for myself. You could take it or leave it when it comes to being one of my guys. But if somebody's on my one of my guys list, then if they have, I'm on the hunt to pick up a piece of merch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess the question is, if someone becomes one of your guys, yeah, you're going to try to buy merch, but you buy merch for folks that aren't your guys.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'll buy, if a shirt is cool, I definitely have shirts that, for guys that are not one of my guys. Most of those shirts are probably more like nostalgia based shirts or whatever. Gotcha. But I mean, I don't think I have, I have like a Braun Strowman shirt.
Uh huh.
I don't know if he's one of my guys per se, but he's also like not one of my guys.
You like him enough to wear a tee.
Yeah. But most wrestlers I have shirts for are probably one of my guys.
Yeah.
What's a wrestler you think I have a shirt, if you can remember, that I'm not one of my guys? I'm trying to think of like obscure ones.
You have an Alexa Bliss shirt?
Yeah, but Alexa Bliss is one of my guys.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss is definitely one of my guys. Yeah. I love Alexa Bliss. Yeah. I think all my shirts are. I have a Shield shirt.
Right.
So that's like Rollins is one of my guys, and then the rest are not.
You have a Roman Reigns vest.
Yes.
True. Yes, the ultimate. The ultimate.
Yeah. I have a Roman Reigns vest. Okay. So that doesn't count. But so, they're probably all one of my guys. But here's the thing. So I feel like, meaning, then I'm on the hunt. Like, if they put out a good shirt and I'm like, I don't have one, I'll buy it.
Yeah,
I don't just buy
definitely.
A shirt
Instant
just to
buy.
Have a shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just buy a shirt because it's like just to spend money. But anyway, so Angel Garza, who I was like, I mean, what a week for this guy. He had a great match on NXT also, and a great promo on NXT. I think this guy is a fucking star.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I think that, first off, he's in pretty great shape. You know, let's go right there.
Yeah.
This pants gimmick is so funny.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because he throws his Snap Boy pants at wrestlers like how Eddie would throw a chair.
Right.
Like he's like, oh, I'll throw it at you, you catch it, and then it's like, I didn't do it.
Right.
Like it's such a bad thing. It's like, it's just pants.
It's just pants, bro.
It's just pants. He's like barely. But it's funny. But I mean, on Raw, a major thing with he filled in, Andrade has got popped for a wellness violation.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I think I saw that his mom was sick.
Oh.
So I sometimes think these wellness violations, they time them out. It's like vacations.
Mean, I love when it comes out and everyone's like, surely this is the one that's real.
Yeah, right.
They're all
over
the place.
It's not an actually regulated thing, so I imagine they use it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't know. They popped Reigns that time.
For the Adderall?
Yeah. Anyway.
That's like the go-to violation of choice, right? Oh, he was using Adderall.
I mean, it was also like, he could have just had. Like, he was also like on vacation, or whatever. With Charlotte,
like,
who knows what they're doing?
They got engaged. He probably took a pill or something and have like a
took a little Molly. No big whoopsie.
Yeah. He was rolling on Molly and Blue Chew.
You're right. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Disco boner.
That's the shit at the counter, like at the gas station.
Yeah. It's a mixture of sildenafil and methamphetamine.
And you like inhale it with your butthole.
Yep.
Like a popper?
Anal Jesus.
This Garza guy has a charisma that I'm into.
Yeah.
First off, he has like a very like 90s Depp look. Do you guys notice that? He's like a hot, like a 90s Depp. Like he has like a Devin Sawa like hair.
No, not like remember when Johnny Depp played like he was in that movie Don Juan DeMarco, and he had like he was like a Mr. like romance guy.
Yes,
this was like a mid-90s.
By the
flop,
way,
but
yeah, I just realized he kind of has a vibe of that gimmick that I was pitching on the pod at one point.
Yeah.
Remember the Swayze, the guy who just knows how to treat a lady?
Yes,
like he's not like a creep or anything. He's just a guy who's like, yo, I gotta finish this match because I have a date tonight.
Rico Suave.
He has like a Rico Suave thing, but he has like the earring. He looks a little 90s to me.
Yeah,
right? He has like a 90s look to me.
Oh, I like the hair.
He's a hot guy from the 90s, but like now, boy band. Like, I think in the 90s, it would be hot what he is, but right now, like, I think his girlfriend, if he was like dating a girl, she might be like, she might be like, hey, can you get a haircut and like cut that beard off?
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
No.
He's got an earring too. It's cool.
Yeah. So anyway.
And he's got cake.
What does that mean?
He's got a big fat ass, man.
Oh. He's got junk in the trunk?
He's got junk in the trunk.
Well, I didn't know if that's just because, he's wearing, he's got power butt.
Right.
Because I don't know.
He's got power butt.
He's got
like open
butt.
Bottles
you
with it.
You know the fucking vibes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that guy could squat.
Power butt.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
you put him and Mandy Rose next to each other. I'm like, what? This is the same butt.
Probably.
Right?
Probably.
Yeah, well, you could look at one of those swap memes where it's like Alexa Bliss, Mandy Rose,
right.
Angel Garza.
What's going on with Mandy Rose? Does she ever? I can't remember a single promo she's done.
Her gimmick is that she's hot,
right?
Yeah,
and that's all it needs
and
to be.
And that Otis has a crush on her.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, Angel Garza, I think he gave two. It was a big debut for him on Raw. I feel like Vince is hot for him right now. I think almost he came in. He gave two. What were those? Like kind of. Double arm DDTs almost.
Yeah.
But like more like the Death Rider, right? Like onto the exposed cement. He does it in that way where it's like not Randy. It's like it's like a DX, more of a DX vibe of like he's like smiling me like, ha ha, isn't this fucking cool? I'm going to kill these guys. I think this guy, he took a step closer to being one of my guys.
Yeah. Do you think when Andrade comes back that him and like Zelina, like they keep them, the three of them?
I'm not sure. But
because I like that.
Angel Garza, just a reality. Garza, he speaks pretty great English.
Yes.
And like he's fluid, you know, and it goes a fucking long way on an English speaking television show.
Yeah.
I think that's what holds Andrade back a little bit, you know. I mean, I don't remember Andrade even speaking.
He's not as fluent as Angel Garza is.
Yeah. Was I saying fluid? I meant fluid.
No, yeah, no, you said fluid. Yeah.
But Garza, I mean, this guy, he's got to get a little bigger.
Yep.
Seems kind of young, right?
Yeah. He's probably, what, like 26?
Yeah.
Exciting.
He's 27.
Exciting. Yeah. I think this guy's a real exciting prospect, and they need more great Hispanic talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, he could really fill in that like that Del Rio role. I mean, the guy could fucking work. I just don't know how small he is. They put him up. They branded him as a cruiserweight, which I think was not a bad move because you can overcome that.
Yeah,
but
he's 5'9".
Yeah, he's average height.
Yeah, 205 pounds.
Yeah. He could use. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be small, but in today's time, he seems like he can fly. Seems like he can do it all.
Yeah, that, good guy. Yeah, I mean, AJ's 5'9", right?
But there's a lot of guys where if you put them next to each other, like, to scale, he won't seem, like, teensy-weensy. Right.
Until he stands up against
like
the Viper.
Randy Orton.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But even AJ, you're like, oh, he looks like a child.
Let's play a cash-in.
Yeah, you got a cash-in?
Let's play a location here. What the Jabroni X got to say, baby?
220 days. 220
Oh, I know.
220 days. 7 long months and change since you lost the title at DCM to Iffy. December 12th, 2019, we fly out to LA, we do the 9-to-5, we have an intervention with you, and you promised that you were going to do something about it, that you're stronger than ever, that you're bigger than ever. You're putting on more weight in the gym. You're going to make this right. You're going to do it. 2 months now. Two. And nothing. One attack. One sneak attack. Now you're playing his games. Come on, Dan. I'm tired of this, man. The Cal community is tired of this. I am flying out there. I am cashing in the Cal Money in the Bank contract. I'm getting that title back for this community, the community that you built. You built it by your bare hands, your hard work, your ethic, the shit that you have instilled in all of us, in every single one of us. Every single one, including myself. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, but it's time. It's not personal. You're my friend. When this podcast, when you were off producing Jamie's show, I would stay up with you till 1, 2, 3 in the morning recording episodes while you were on the road, everywhere you have to go. We did whatever we took to keep this podcast alive, man, and to keep it going because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than us. It's about the Cow Nation. It's about the blood and the adrenaline and the sweat and the tears and the community that has been built on the foundation of your back, and you are letting us down. No more, Dan. No more. I'll do it. I'll bring it back. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Cow Nation because this community deserves a fucking title match at Cow Mania 2. I'm tired of waiting. Send your fucking email. It won't make a fucking difference. And if it does, congrats. But 7 months, man, that's it. I'm cashing in. Marketect. Out.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, you know.
Longer than a minute.
Yeah. You know, look, I was trying to not. That's obviously.
Touchy subject.
Nick Tulo, the holder of the official Cow Money in the Bank briefcase. And look, he's heated. And I'm not going to match that energy. There's no real reason to go there. And because I think his energy comes from a good place. Even if he's attacking me, you know.
The message is
ultimately
a positive
is we're on the same page in a way. Uh-huh. Even with our delivery mechanisms are very, very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And look. I did say at the 9 to 5 episode, right? If you haven't heard, you can go on Patreon and listen to the 9 to 5 8-hour episode. And yeah, there was a little bit of an intervention. Everyone talked to me about bringing the title home, getting it from Iffy. And look, I've been looking for Iffy. I attacked Iffy, and I sent this email to Iffy. Frankly, I'm trying to decode this guy any way I can. Okay, and look, maybe I'm not sitting outside of his house 24 hours a day because, frankly, I run this podcast, right? I have a job and I run this podcast. A lot goes into it. This thing's basically a nonprofit, right? More people listen to the show than support the show. Okay. I put my own effort, my own money into this podcast to make this thing happen. And, you know, it's easy to just sit in Long Island and just point fingers when I'm actually here in L.A. doing the work, you know. Mm-hmm. And look, you did give me respect for that. I'm not upset. You did point out that I built, I built this. And, yeah, not having the title here and that symbol, it's a missing piece. I feel that. But I am only one guy, and like Newman, Tulo, Nosh, Aaron, everybody, even Tulo, yeah, helps me. But like, I already said I'm going to bring this title home, and I intend to do it. I will do it. I promise. I vow to do it, okay? And I've already established that I will be defended at Cowmania 2, okay? Which is likely April 4th. Okay, and it's funny because I just got a text right now from the venue. I also plan these events myself in Tampa from all the way across the country while getting out a television show for Netflix, right? Yeah. I do all that. I'm doing all that stuff, and then I just get attacked from every angle. So you know what? We had a poll in the group. Yeah. I know it was a hot topic there.
Yeah.
It was hashtag cash in if Tulo should cash in his money in the bank and go after Iffy.
Right.
Okay, because to his credit, yeah. He did track down Iffy when he was in New York, and he knocked him out pretty good. He probably could have pinned him if he knew that case was real. And hashtag more times. Give me more time, which is what I'm asking for, essentially because I'm one man doing this thing, you know, running this podcast, this community. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the statistics are, like, I made the poll, and the response rate was largely in favor of a cash-in. Almost
right.
3/4 of the responses were for a cash in, and you know, some people had their own ideas on how it could happen, maybe somewhere in the middle, but you had less than 25% of the vote.
And that's fine.
It's discouraging, but...
That's fine, and I like hearing from... And I think we should do more, like, reporting back on what the people are saying.
What people are
on
saying.
On here, yeah. Because I'm interested in hearing what people are saying, and I understand that. And I could see myself being in the shoes of a listener and being frustrated and saying, well, there's another option, cash in. It's a sexy option, I get that.
Well, and he's one of us.
I just want to say, I've wrestled iffy, okay? I'm getting in shape. I'm 10 pounds heavier of muscle. I'm stronger. Is Tulo in any kind of ring shape? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying, like, do we want this Tulo to die?
No. I mean, saw the damage, right?
I think I outweigh Nick Tulo by probably 10 or 15 pounds, mm-hmm. if not more. And if he picked me up, like a child.
There's video footage of it.
Like a child.
Newman getting ragdolled.
I was lifted off of my feet with... great ease. He's not ready right. for iffy.
Well,
that's a risk.
Here's the deal. I can't, you know, look, I've frankly, to be honest, and this is conversations I've had behind the scenes on the here, part of me is worried about Tulo Cash again, worried about the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I can't control him, though. He's a grown man. He wants to fly out here and face if he has the briefcase. I literally can't stop him. So he's got to do what he's got to do. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm still going after this cow title. And if anything, I got to, you know, I've got to hope that if he doesn't get his hands on Tulo, that's where my mind's at.
Right.
But anyway, me and Tulo will hash this out on the Patreon bonus episode coming out Friday morning. Which is still happening, you know? Yeah. It's still happening. As far as I'm concerned, it's still happening, and we'll be talking about AEW and NXT. I mean, all right. Well, anyway, Aaron, thanks for reporting those results.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
I wish I had better news for you, but yeah. That's
I get it.
Say.
I got it. I get it. Anyway, so, okay. Braun Strowman, I mean, if we jump back into it, is the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, man.
Off Shinsuke. Well, I think we should start from this place of saying, was this Shinsuke IC title run one of the worst title IC
so
title
forgettable.
Runs of all time?
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those things where it's like, I would have to ask who had the title. Like, I don't.
Yeah, they changed the actual belt, which possibly was because Cody's the one who brought back. I don't even think that's why.
I don't know.
They were just doing it to sell titles and freshen it up, whatever. Gave it to him. That also made the IC belt even more forgettable because it was new. Did he even have any defenses on pay-per-views?
No.
I don't remember.
Nothing outside of a kickoff show.
Yeah. That's got pre-show all over it.
Yeah.
As much as Shinsuke is very much not one of my guys, you know, I was watching Shinsuke enter at one point. I was like, he was wearing like his outfit looks like a Saturday Night Fever Halloween costume,
sure. Yeah.
right out of the plastic.
Right,
you got it at Spirit it Halloween.
Like, it says like disco man.
Guy. Yeah, like I'm like what you know, the guy doesn't do it for me at all. Even the Zane thing, I'm like Zane's great on the bike, like he's doing great. But it's just like, it just didn't work. Strowman is IC title going into Mania. Great. If they have nothing else for him, awesome. What match you want to see for Strowman?
Lesnar.
We've seen it.
I mean, he's a baby face right now, right?
Yeah.
So a heel?
Most definitely.
That's going to be
Jinder Mahal.
It's going to be a four-way match, right? Really? They're just going to throw a bunch of dudes in there.
Mm.
It's going to be.
It'll be him. Versus the fucking hype bros or whoever. Reddick Moss.
Mojo. Ugh.
I would have lost soul.
Yeah.
He is a lost soul.
IC title, what I would do with it is I would give it to Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
That was their other plan for it.
Yeah.
Originally when he had won it at 31. And their plan was he was going to, before he had to leave for good. For not good, you know, for wrestling good, which is 5 years or whatever. But he had to leave, and it was like going to make the IC title cool again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's the perfect guy for it.
Yeah.
I to me, like Mike Mizanin, The Miz, is who I remember, like probably the most recent memorable IC
holder.
So I don't know. They could put him back.
Yeah, he's
the
longest IC holder, right? And he made it. He did it. You talked about making it relevant and loving the title. Shinsuke, I mean, anyway.
There was a long time there where
I think
Miz
Tyson
is...
Fury might be the match, is my guess. Oh, Strowman, right? Rematch?
Yeah.
Come on.
For the IC title?
Yeah.
And then Strowman can beat him at this Mania? I don't know.
Cool.
Whatever. Cool.
I'd rather see the Miz.
Yeah. I have nothing to say.
Jabron Zone.
I hope they can find a way to get Strowman back on track. You know, I think the only way he's got, they got to rest him and he's got to come back a little different. And shave his beard at the right time.
Shave his beard.
Really?
Shave his beard.
Oh, that would be so shocking.
Go fucking white hot baby face. Fucking put him in pink trunks. Like,
but
just,
he is so cute and lovable.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Even though he like
country boy
loves hunting
baby face.
He yeah, just, country boy baby face. I don't think he needs that much of a revamp. He needs like a breather and he needs to come back at like a smart time.
Right.
I want to see him like flipping ambulances again.
Did he win a briefcase?
Yeah.
And he's unsuccessfully cashing in. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He cashed in. I don't even remember. Oh, he cashed in against Lesnar in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God. That's why I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I don't remember. Yeah. I mean, let's just, whatever. We could just move on from that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ricochet getting a title shot at Super Showdown against Brock Lesnar. I knew Ricochet was winning that match. The reason I knew Ricochet was winning that match is they don't want to see the Rollins match again.
Right.
And Bobby Lashley, I feel like, is a potential for Lesnar to get hurt before Mania.
Right.
Right? Like, they're like, yo, let's just... He could toss around Ricochet for a little bit.
This is going to be a squash,
The Saudis will
right?
love it. Yeah.
Squash.
Easily.
And the Saudis are going to love it, right? Yeah. They're gonna love it. Ricochet's going to flip, and they're going to be like, oh, that was awesome.
The spectacle.
Yeah. It's great, and he's just going to get destroyed.
Right.
And Lesnar can work for 3 minutes. Beat Ricochet.
Crumple stilts.
Boom. Yeah, absolutely. It's nothing. Yeah. So there's nothing really to say about that. It just is what it is. Okay. Here's the last thing I want to talk about. I have a couple. Yeah, all this stuff's cuttable. Here we go. No, well, Tulo took up so much time, but I apologize for that. Hold on. Where I love. Oh, Goldberg.
Yeah,
is going to be on SmackDown on Friday, announcing who's next.
Right.
I mean, why are you doing that? Why are you saying, you don't think it's cool to just have a Goldberg match on a Mania card?
Because it means
it's 3 minutes, and you just get the full Goldberg entrance, which is always a blast.
Yeah.
He's just going to spear somebody. But who do you think he'll wrestle?
Somebody other. I mean,
Strowman?
Strowman,
Goldberg, but then Strowman can't beat Goldberg.
And he can't do anything to Strowman. He's like...
No, that's the two worst wrestlers in the ring.
Someone would die.
Goldberg.
No, it has to be...
The Fiend.
Oh, my God.
Goldberg, anybody's going to be like...
Goldberg would never let that happen.
How do we not have this guy die in the ring because he can't wrestle?
What's Roman up to?
Oh.
Goldberg, Roman. It's clearly for... You think it's for... No, it's for Saudi Arabia.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. You said Mania. I was like, that's a long build for Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, you're wrong. You're right. It's just for Saudi Arabia. So, yeah, it'll be like Triple H or something, right?
Or Batista or something.
Yeah. Whoever could take your paycheck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Saudi Arabia, who cares?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Who's next? Who cares?
Yeah.
Sorry, asking the hard-hitting questions.
By the way, titles change hands. Those are not house shows.
Right.
Okay, cool. Bobby Roode wore pants. Did anyone see Bobby Roode's pants? Bobby Roode wore pants.
Were they Levi's jeans?
No.
Not interested.
No, they didn't look as good. He belongs in the undies.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the actual... two things. One thing. Kevin Owens, great showing on Raw. There's not much to say about it. The only thing I have to say about Kevin Owens is I've said it before. I do think he needs a gear change.
Yeah.
The frumpy sleeveless tee and the basketball shorts isn't doing it for you anymore?
The thing with it is what it really worked about is when he was a true indie guy.
Right.
And it was like, oh, that's what he used to wrestle in like armories in, right? Yeah. You know? Like, now he's like a true WWE guy. He's been a Universal Champion. It's like he needs something fucking more legit.
What can you put like a man of that stature in that doesn't look bad?
I've always said that something like what Reigns wear would like look not like as military.
Right. You go full Steiner Brothers and you put him in a singlet.
Yeah.
You go full Rick Steiner and you put him in the headgear.
And did you own a Shoney's?
Yep.
I think you do a little Steiner math. Did you start doing Steiner math?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the other thing is that I'm not exactly, I'd have to, like, I don't have, like, the solve for it.
Right.
Like, Kevin Owens needs to, like, do, like, go into the, like, the fashion, the WWE fashion studio, uh-huh. and, like, try on some shit. Right.
Right.
We need to, like, find something. Because maybe it might be still close to this, but he could use to up it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because
he needs, like a makeover, a light makeover.
Right. Because even, it's like, even his gear when he's not wrestling, he comes out and he's kind of dressed like Lesnar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Athleisure.
He does, like, his athleisure. And, like, I don't
wear, like, just regular clothes.
He wears, like, the same shirt he'll always wear, cut off. And then, like, black, like, sweatpants and sneakers, which are, like, what Lesnar wears.
What if it was just a different cut on the sleeveless tee? Like, it wasn't just the, like, boxed cut off the sleeves. What if he did the more, like, contoured?
You want the, like, low armhole situation.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's got weird armpits.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else he can wear, so I don't really know what I'm talking about, but, like, wearing, like, loose Russell shorts, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, I'm like, yo, let's put this packaging a little more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway.
Food for thought.
Okay, truly last topic, okay? Aleister Black, who clearly they're giving airtime to, and they're clearly trying to figure it out, cuts this promo. He says, He gives his worst black mass ever.
Yeah,
which is not, I don't think his fault. I think it's him and what's his name, Eric
Young.
I didn't have good chemistry or whatever. But he says, he cuts his promo, gets on the mic. He's like, "Be whoever you want to be, because that drives relentless competition."
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is he talking about? His promos are so confusing.
Well, this is the first one, like the one last week where he's like, "I'm done waiting, I'm gonna come bring the fight to you." That made sense.
To who?
To me. What do you mean? To who?
Who was he bringing the fight to?
So he's done being like, who's gonna
knock on my door,
which
I'm gonna come find you.
Right.
Right? Okay, that at least made sense. This, I don't know what he means by, you know, because I thought at first he was gonna be cutting that fucking god-awful promo about how, you know, I know you've all heard you can be anything you want in life, but you can't because this town smells like shit or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought he was going to do that. But he said, you know, but you're told you can be anything you want to be, but then, you know, life proves you that is wrong. And, but then, yeah, then he says about relentless competition. And then he says, if when I beat you, you'll know it's because it was, or you'll know that it was done by somebody that was told they could be anything. I don't know what that
platitudes.
Yeah, platitudes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
It just doesn't make sense.
It was, right. I was
like fortune cookie shit.
I was like,
wait. Did you hear a creak? Sound?
Oh my god. What?
Where these candles come from?
Oh fuck.
Oh my god.
He just rolled. Oh my god. Oh, he just rose
did
up
you
from
see that?
The table.
Oh my god. Whoa.
Wow.
Holy shit.
There's so much smoke. Oh my!
Oh Jesus!
Oh my God!
Oh my God! So smoky in here!
Oh my God! It's so smoky! I think he's
the candles too. Where did they come from? Oh my God! Is that smoke or is that vape? Fuck!
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Wow! Well,
Aleister Black in studio. This is unbelievable!
Greetings.
Wow, Aleister!
Greetings and salutations.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. greetings and salutations to you as well. So we were just, you probably felt summoned or something because we were talking about your promo for Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I heard you talking about my promo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You said be whoever you want to be because that drives relentless competition.
It was an excerpt from my motivational speaking tour that I've been on.
You're on a motivational speaking tour?
That's right.
Okay.
I am inspiring masses, black masses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People.
Yeah, you know, I don't really like that when you talk about your finisher.
Why?
It's just, I'm just saying. It's
don't
like,
you remember, Razor Ramon would always be like, you're going to get the razor's edge.
I know, even Drew, when he says, like, you're going to get a claymore, I don't, like, I feel like talking about your, it's just a personal preference there. Mm.
You'd prefer it be out of nowhere.
Yes, absolutely, okay. Yeah. So yeah, so you're it sounds oh so motivated. Yeah, you kind of it's like you have like a spooky boy vibe, like yeah. You're very like scary. You literally rise from the ashes here, and it's smoky, and it's, well, there's candles. It's very vampiric. But then you do kind of give like a high school coach kind of like a you could be whatever you want to be. Like don't let people keep you down. A motivational speaker vibe.
Like a little kind of Tony Robbins.
It's a little
energy.
Confusing.
Well, look, you've kind of keyed in on my main philosophy, which is you can be anything you want to be in life.
Right.
Especially if what you want to be is someone who is constantly fighting other people.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That makes sense.
It's so weird to mix violence with motivational speaking.
That's because
like a
you
different
don't,
spin on it.
You don't believe in yourself. You don't believe that you can be somebody who is out there picking fights with people.
Random people?
Random people.
Like Grand Theft Auto style? Yes.
I guess I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think about it.
Right. Like, what would you say, motivational speaking? I mean, like, you went to, like, a prison or something, and someone was like, hey, I was out in the street. It's being pretty violent.
Hang on, I'm going to move the mic down. I'm going to sit cross-legged down here.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. Oh. Yeah, that's an awkward transition there. Sorry. Oh, the blue light just turned
right,
on. That's weird.
Right, here we go.
Yeah, why did that? It felt very random.
Let me just get my boot. Yeah. Okay. Here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You look
Yeah, I saw
that.
So on Raw, you didn't quite get into the... It seemed like it was hard to get into the...
Yeah, you've suspended your disbelief for less, though, no?
That's true. That is true. So, you know what? That's fair. That was a good touche. You're actually pretty slick on the... Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I feel like a little...
What
good.
Would I
it's
say
effective.
In a prison? I would remind them like I would remind anyone that out there in the world, fights are just waiting for you.
But
if someone says to you, have a nice day, you say, don't tell me what to do, and you kick their face off.
What kind of a kick?
A black mask.
Yeah. I mean, that's all. First off, not only do I disagree with the advice, like, drastically. I mean, I couldn't disagree more that you should start fights with people. That kick is almost impossible to execute for most people. As a matter of fact, you botched it on Monday.
Well, look, again, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
I rise from a grave.
Right.
Okay? That's good enough for you?
Yeah, I mean, you might be a little stiff hanging
but
out in there.
I like your spirit. You're picking a fight with me right now.
Yeah.
It is within you, you see. You don't have to be a weakling.
We're arguing. So I see I'm on your website here.
Yes,
your
AleisterBlack.org.
Yeah. And I'm on your tour dates. Looks like you're going to an elementary school?
Yes.
Next week?
Yes. There is no more potent... of an environment for fights than a schoolyard.
I hate this.
I don't know.
Someone says to you, hey, I get next in the basketball game. Mm-hmm. And you say, how about I punch you in the fucking face?
No, that's what you tell the kids.
Yes.
Elementary school kids.
This is my first tour.
Yeah, this is no good.
We'll see how it goes.
This won't do. This is no good, Alistair.
What if, like, Dan and I wanted to go to one of your sessions.
I would love to go.
Is there anywhere in particular we can go to sign up? Or
yes. I mean, AleisterBlack.org.
Okay.
I am also taking, you know, I can take it in person.
Okay.
But I can also do one right here, you know, like a quick one for you guys right now.
Yeah,
I'm up for it if you are.
Yeah, that's great.
Aaron, tell Dan what you don't like about him.
I don't really care for your breath.
Yeah. Well, that makes me want to punch her.
I'm feeling
a little,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to. I'm operating in a completely genderless, just.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess you would. Yeah.
Yeah, I am from a realm where gender is meaningless.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it makes me, I feel violent. I would never actually, I mean,
I'm starting to feel violent.
Yeah.
And I'm a non-violent.
Because, like, I'm sensitive about my breath. So it's kind of like, why she went there.
I can tell.
And you came in here and made me feel bad. Was that what the point was?
Yes.
Wow. This is effective.
Yeah, I mean, you are a black mess.
That's right.
And so it also says here that you'll absolve people of their sins.
Yes.
How do you do that?
I am an ordained minister in all 50 states, including Puerto Rico.
Okay. All right.
In the Episcopalian congregation, I can absolve anybody of their sins. You have a little sip of the sacrament. and I kick you in the mouth.
Yeah, okay. All right, Alistair, you got to go.
Wow. All right. Wow.
Back in the good old to see you. Radio.
Oh, he's going back. I didn't know it goes down.
Yeah, yeah, it goes down.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Smoke is back. Jesus.
It's a little awkward going back down.
Dan, I'm sorry for what I said about your breath,
yeah,
by the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it was just,
good.
He was here and it was smoky.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Well, hey, that's our show, everybody. All right, that's our episode. We're, if you want to hear our bonus episode, we're doing a movie dissection of The Marine 4, chosen by one of our patrons, our Patroniac and Jabroniac, Jacob Levitt. And to give you a teaser of that episode, here's why Jacob chose this episode.
What's up? It's the Semitic superstar, Jacob Levitt, just sharing why I chose The Marine 4 for my Patreon movie dissection. You know, I was strongly leaning towards 12 Rounds 3, the movie that I am watching once a week, every week, for a year, but I decided to go with my favorite WWE Studios film, The Marine 4. I've seen every Marine film, and I believe that this one is a legitimately good movie. I give it 5 moves without a doubt, and I'm very excited to hear what you guys think. So, hopefully, enjoy the film. Cheers up.
Wow,
love you, Jacob. Cheers up.
And by the way, you can choose your own movie to be dissected on the Patreon. There's a certain level you can sign up for, and then we'll ask you what movie you want. But yeah, look, join the Patreon, and you can hear our movie dissection episode. It comes out Monday morning, baby. Hey, everybody. Cowmania. Just want to say April 4th, by the way.
Saturday.
In the afternoon, next week on the podcast, I will have all of the details. I got all the details while we were here on the podcast. So I'll have all that. We'll have a ticket link up. But no, it's happening, and it's going to be really close to NXT TakeOver. So, hey, everybody, more details coming. Keep watching Wrestling Kisses. Comedians of Wrestling.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.